Can you hear the music?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I love this shit. A lot of people can't hear it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of people can, a lot of people can't. I guess it's probably more like 70-30.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That little pause there. Ah, it sounds like there's an echo too, but like it's not there now when I'm talking, just when the music
is playing. Good.
Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And, you know, shout out to Senjin Boychuk. You know, he was only supposed to be, I don't know, it was only supposed to be like a 5-6 episode thing, like fucking 80 weeks ago. So here we go, you know, and you know, the guy's everywhere on the socials. You know, he's a journeyman. I think he's like an electrician or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Here in Canada, and he only does that to fund his musical, like, it's not even a hobby, it's like what he actually wants to do. Like, he's in a band and he makes music and stuff like that, and you know, so he is only a journeyman electrician or whatever trade he's a part of. I can't remember, like I think it's an electrician, but like he only does that to fund his passion, right? So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So shout out to Senjin Boychuk, and on today's episode we have the lovely Miss Killer Mars. What's up,
how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing great.
That's good. I'm heading back to work today. Today's like, I guess technically my last day off. I don't fly out until like 6 p.m tonight, so it's kind of nice to hang out. I'm pretty tired, you know. I've never had this amount of days off before. Like, this is
really
day 12, right? And like, I've never had, usually it's 7 or, yeah, I'm on a 20 and 10 schedule, but it's never been the 10, right? It's always like 7-ish,
yeah,
right? Or less. So like, you know, to have 12 days off, I jam packed like, you know, a good couple weeks into my 12 days off. You know, there was only like 2-3 days maybe where I wasn't busy or doing anything. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I get a little stir crazy if I'm off work for too long. So I always have to be busy the entire time.
Oh yeah. And you know, like 7 days, you know, my kids and I miss them. They miss me. But you know, last Christmas when I had about 8 or 9 days off, my oldest daughter and I started getting on each other's nerves.
She was
6 at the time. So what'd she say to me? We kind of butted heads a little bit, and then she looked at me, she's like, isn't it time for you to go back to work yet? Holy shit, kid. You know, and now it's just like, yeah, I think it's time to go back to work, you know. Like, I need to go. I'm like, you know what? Maybe if they ask me to stay and work Christmas this year, I'm gonna stay, right? Like,
yeah,
like, you know, this is too much time, right? And like, it's not gonna happen.
That's like, funny that she picks on you like that.
Oh, all the time. Like, she's 7 now, and you know, I'm not her safe space, right? Her mom's her safe space.
Yeah.
Because I work away all the time, right?
Right.
That's a part of it. I've been working away longer than she's been alive, so like, you know, that's all she's ever known is me gone, right? So it's kind of hurts a little bit, you know. But like, it is what it is. She's getting a little older. She understands why I go away to work. Doesn't
right.
mean that she, you know, still, she looks at me and she's just like, why are you here? Right? Like,
you come in and crash the party.
Yeah. I'm a fun killer, apparently. I try to be the fun dad, but you know, being a dad to 2 little girls is fucking hard.
Oh God, I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. So Mars, how, like, we were just talking like Tennessee. I always thought Tennessee was like West Coast or Western America, or even in the Midwest, right? Because like,
yeah,
the Nashville Predators, they are in the Western Conference of the NHL, right?
Yeah.
And like, you give me a little history or geography lesson here, I guess. And Tennessee's actually like way east.
Yep, it is. Yeah, which is funny because I was actually born in California, so I've gone completely from the west side to the east side.
Yeah, you were like, what, you from Compton or what? Like, West Side?
Modesto.
So is that like, I don't know anything about California except for like, I've been to, you know, SoCal. You know, San Diego is probably my all-time favorite place, you know, never drops below 70. And founded by the Germans in the late 70s, San Diego is in, I guess, terms for whale's vagina.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's not actually, that's an Anchorman quote.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's funny.
It's pretty crazy. It's like in Modesto. Is Modesto like NorCal?
It's like North, yeah.
NorCal, okay. North so, like, do you know who Philly P is?
No.
He's in the troll group. He blows squirrels up.
No, he does not.
Yeah, he has an almond farm.
Oh, wow.
And he blows squirrels to shit.
Does he, like, set up those traps? Like, have you seen the one where they, like, spin on the bird feeders or whatever?
No, so he has this thing where he pumps gas into the squirrel hole, and then like he flips the switch and it'll boom, sets off a charge, right?
Oh wow.
And oh yeah, the one video you can see the squirrel like actually like blowing up and like flying in the
air. I don't know how I've missed that on the chat.
Oh, he's pretty new. How long have you been a part of the troll group?
For a few years now, actually. I was kind of one of the OGs.
OGs, nice, yeah. Yeah, there's a few OGs. You got Slim Brick in there, and you got Celtics or whatever.
Yeah, I love the community. It's such a great group.
It is a great group. I never see you chatting there. So like,
Well, I know. I'm kind of that. Every once in a while, I'll get on there and throw something in, but I don't know. I'm like so busy constantly. It's just hard for me to keep up with everything.
Yeah.
So I do get enough to get the posts out there. You know.
Yeah. I haven't chatted in there. I was chatting for a bit, and then, you know, I kind of like, I got really busy at work and doing other things, and then, you know, the podcast, and then, you know, I look in there and I'm like a week behind on the messages, and I'm like, oh, I don't even know, you know, maybe I'll just like sit this one out, and then once in a while I'll drop something, and then, you know, yeah, it's pretty interesting, you know, sometimes, you know, and you know, I find new people in that group all the time that I didn't know were a part of it because they don't talk, right? And you're one of them. So yeah.
Yeah, I'll try to pay more attention to that. I need to do that more because it's good to be able to talk to everybody and, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're a welder, fabricator.
Yes.
From Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it. So I guess I could tell you a little bit about my background. My dad was a contractor, so I was like always around job sites and construction. So I think that's where like naturally I just like love building and creating stuff. But I actually started out as an artist. So I was like drawing and painting. And it wasn't until I took like a sculpture class that I was like, oh my God, I want to like build shit. From there, I actually went to UT for sculpting, and that's where I learned how to weld and everything. So I like started straight up with just doing art, like sculptures.
That's badass.
But quickly realized I wasn't really making a whole lot of money doing that. So I ended up doing concrete countertops for like 4.5 years. And I was doing all their fab work, doing railings, and through that kind of networked and met different architects, designers, and slowly started to build up my equipment and was like, all right, I'm going to do my own thing. So it was pretty cool.
That's one pretty neat thing about blue collar, is that like, you know, you could switch your field at any time, you know, like if you believe in yourself, right?
Right.
You're like, hey, I don't really want to do this anymore. And you network and you're like, well, what they're doing over there looks pretty cool. Right. So you go over there, talk to them and you like get a feel for what they're doing. And then you'll be like, hey, teach me, let's go, right? And then you go down this path, right? And then if you ever get tired of that, you can always come back to where you were. And then you look over here and there's another path to go down and you're like, hey, teach me, right? And exactly. You know, I love that. I love that about like so many people. So many people have more than one trade under their belt, and right? There's, absolutely. Hey, you know what? If it doesn't work for as an electrician, fuck it, I'm a welder. If
exactly.
It doesn't work for an electrician or a welder, I could go over here and I can run heavy equipment. If it doesn't work for any of that, I could go over here and I can lay bricks, right? And you know, like that's so cool, you know, like.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities out there. And exactly like you said, like a lot of things that are great about it is being able to be so close with other people, like especially on a job site. I mean, you're working with so many different trades that it's easy to kind of like mend into something else. So, I love it.
That's like being in the oil field, right? Like I started off, you know, crushing rock, right, in Grand Prairie for, you know, lease sites and stuff like that. you know, crushing rock. And it was like, oh shit, I don't really want to do this no more. Right. So the oil field, everyone thinks the oil field is just, you know, oil rigs, right? It's like oil field. No, no, no. Like there's so much more to the oil field than just drilling rigs.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, that's one industry within the industry. Right. And, you know, I jump into a vac truck. I jumped into the vac industry, which is very, in my personal opinion, in the oil and gas industry, the vac side of things is the dirtiest, hardest job in the oil field, right? Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't say it's hard, it's tedious, right? I don't think there's a hard job. I think they're all tedious. But the vac side of things, man, I don't do that no more. After 7 years, I just jumped ship and went somewhere else. And like 2 months ago. So, but like, you know, shout out to the vac guys, the vac boys and girls, you know what I mean? Like they're getting they have the dirtiest job in the oil field. They,
yeah. You know,
they could be covered in invert one day and that's danger pay, right?
For most, right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Most guys on the rigs, they're getting an extra $10 a day or $10 an hour or whatever to work with invert. And we're just getting covered in it. Right. We're just like, give me that cancer, boy. You know? Yeah. And you know, you're in all these tanks, you're in under air constantly. You're wearing the oil field, right? You're wearing it. Yeah. And super, you know, under appreciated part of the oil field, right? You know, until someone needs a vac truck, you know, and then it's like, oh my God, you're a hero. But like, super underappreciated. Now, like, you know, I just switched. I took a different route. I'm probably like clean. I'm a lot more cleaner than what I was. I'm on a steamer now. I'm a steamer operator. You know, it's pretty cool. I'm on a schedule. Before I didn't have a schedule. I was on call 24/7.
Oh wow. Yeah.
So I was gone for like months at a time. Now I'm on 20 days on, 10 days off, and it's more money. Right. So, and there's so many different avenues to take in the oil field, right? Like much like, you know, the trades and whatnot, you know, oil field, you go work on a drilling rig, you can become a fracker, you can become a pipeliner, you can become a petroleum engineer. You can become anything you want. Right. And you just network. And I love doing that. I network the shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like whenever I'm on site, I talk to everybody. I'm like, so what do you do? Hey, yeah. Oh yeah. What do you make doing that? And what's it take to do that? You know? And yeah.
Absolutely. That's like 90% of my job as being a business owner is networking. Like I've never done any sort of advertising or anything like that. It's always been like word of mouth or me just making connections with people.
Yeah.
So it's like so crucial in what I do.
It's funny that you say, you know, like we're all blue collar, but you're a business owner, right?
Right. Exactly.
And Gord Kightley from the Second Act podcast was on my podcast for episode 100. And he was talking, he's like, it's funny that, you know, all these people, they label themselves blue collar and fuck the white collar, fuck your cubicle. He's like, but, you know, they all own their own business, right?
Yeah.
So, like they are blue collar, but they also have to wear that white collar cap too, right?
Absolutely.
And it's really interesting. I never thought of it that way, right? And until he said it. So that was pretty cool, actually. I'm starting to see it now. I'm like, oh yeah. This person has to be like a blue collar person during the day and like grind it out, you know, but like at night when they're back at home, you know, it's paperwork and
right. Exactly.
And bean counting and shit. Right. So that's pretty, it's pretty cool when you stop to think about it.
Well, and it's so weird because your mindset like switches during those transitions of like your position or whatever. So it's like, for me, that's one thing I kind of struggle with is like going from like being in the shop all day and like making my mindset switch over into like, okay, now I got to do all these quotes and I got to answer emails. And like, sometimes I'll procrastinate on it because it's literally like a very mental thing for me to have to like get in that mode, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah. How long have you been in Tennessee for? Cause like I'm hearing a little accent.
Right? I'm sure there's definitely an accent. I've been here basically my entire life. So we moved here when I was real little. So
I'm hearing a little Carrie Underwood in your voice.
Yeah. I got that twang.
That twang. Yeah. Hey, yeah. You know what? I love that Southern hospitality, you know, like you're not really, you're South, right? It's Southern.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
I don't know where the fuck
Tennessee is. So
yeah, I mean, that is one thing I love about being here is that everyone is pretty welcoming and nice for the most part. I mean, you run into some people here and there, but yeah, I mean, it's a really great place to live. In the mountains, it's beautiful. So
There's mountains in Tennessee?
Oh yeah, we're like right by the Smokies, so we got all the good mountains. Yeah.
I gotta Google what the Smokies look like, because I live in the Canadian Rockies just about, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, like I'm in Alberta, which like Alberta has a little bit of everything. We go from like prairie to foothills, and you can see it go like flat, 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 little foothilly, and then Rocky Mountains, right? And,
oh wow.
Yeah, BC has the majority of the Rocky Mountains, but like Alberta definitely has, you know, we have Banff and we have Jasper. So, you know, it's beautiful area still.
I've always wanted to go to Canada. My boyfriend, he actually just got back from Alberta. Well, he had a layover from there, from Vancouver, because he went to see Taylor Swift.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Hey, shout out to Tay Tay's last show. You know, 2 years on the Eras tour and last right. season, like the final one. My wife's a little sad this morning that she didn't make it.
Oh no.
We tried so hard to get her to go, you know, but her and my sister, you know, they haven't missed the Taylor Swift tour yet, and like the Eras tour was a cultural phenomenon, right? Like they said this was the highest grossing tour of all time, right?
Wow.
Like bigger than the Michael Jackson's whatever fuck tour that was, bigger than any other tour in music history.
Yeah, she is very smart. She knows exactly how to do it. So
oh yeah, and she's very like, so when she doesn't, nothing happens by accident with her, right?
Yeah.
Nothing, right? Everything from her outfit to the shit she likes on social media, because she doesn't like a lot of things, to the word, a word, her play on words in a song.
Yeah.
Everything is but on purpose, right? And if you're not paying attention, like you miss something, right?
Yeah.
Like she leaves little breadcrumbs everywhere, you know, the even in her albums, you know, she leaves Easter eggs in her music videos, right? And it's pretty crazy that, you know, like I'm sitting here and talking about Taylor Swift. Yeah, pretty cool that he got to go to Taylor Swift. He didn't take you with him.
Well, he had this plan for a while before we met, so it was one of those situations where I obviously wasn't going to be able to get a ticket at that point.
Yeah, how much did he pay for a ticket?
Oh god, I'm not sure, but he got like floor seats, so it was pretty pricey.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. It was the hottest ticket on the planet, right? So
yeah.
It's what, 600 shows in 2 years?
Yeah. Oh my god. That's insane. She's just a powerhouse. You know?
I hope she takes like a year off or something. Like
right,
that.
Exactly.
Cool. You know, just she knows she's not gonna do that. She's gonna like not perform, but she's definitely gonna like write music. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And she's gonna have a baby in there now. She gotta get married to Travis. You know, it's coming. It's coming.
Right? I know. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife and my sister are big Swifties, and like, it's hard not to get swept up in it, right?
Right, I know. I've
been with my wife for 20 years, and my sister and her are like, you know, besties, and that's all they do is they talk and plan and yada, yada, yada. My sister flew 5 hours to come in and have a listen party for the Tortured Poets Department. So.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I saw your boyfriend there. You guys were doing that. Like
yeah. One of our TikTok dances.
Yeah,
you know,
I want to do that. I want to do that video at some point too.
It's just a lot of fun. We have fun together, so
I see that, and that's good. That's important, you know. You guys take your followings and you blend it together, and you know, I love that, you know. My wife doesn't have a following, but she's made a couple of videos with me over the course of the last 4 years. And, you know, some of them have been funny and some of them just been like, well, this isn't good, but like, it works. So whatever.
Well, you have to have those, you know, every once in a while. They can't all be perfect.
Oh, absolutely. You can't all have bangers for sure. Yeah. So how long have you been welding for? I can't. Did you say?
I've been welding for like 10 years or more now.
Good for you.
Since I first started. So yeah, it's been a journey. Always expanding my knowledge. I mean, that's one thing I love about it. So I'm always learning, and every project I do, because I do like residential, commercial, custom fabrication. So every job that I'm doing is completely different. So it's like navigating that and learning a different trick each time, which always keeps me entertained, which is what I like about it. So it's not like some, you know, monotonous kind of thing, even though like once you get into it, like the welding can kind of seem like that, but it's also like a form of therapy for me, if that makes sense. Like I just like put the hood down, go to work, and it's like problems kind of disappear and I can escape into this like world of heating and bending metal.
That's pretty neat though. So you got into it, you worked for someone else, you were an apprentice obviously for a little bit.
Yeah, so after college I got offered a job doing the concrete countertops, so I was doing all of their fabrication work and concrete casting, which like kind of similar to what you were saying, like I was covered in concrete dust and just like soaking wet and dirty all the time constantly.
Oh, that's silicosis.
Oh yeah, exactly. So I'm sure I'm gonna have some fun days in the future.
Yeah.
And you know, when I was younger and starting out, I didn't take safety as seriously as I should have, because honestly in college they didn't really teach you that, like, because I was in sculpture school, right? So they weren't really necessarily focusing on, like, it was more about the art side of things. And like, it actually wasn't until I started to build a community on social media where people would be like, hey, like, you need to be wearing a respirator, you need to be doing this. And literally from that was when I was like, oh my god, like, there's tons of things that I'm not doing properly. So shout out to those people.
Shout out to the armchair safety officers.
Yeah, exactly. Because once I started, you know, approaching my 30s, I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I should start like focusing on not being just so careless about everything.
Hey, you're only going to cough up a little bit of blood. Don't worry about it. It only happens once, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you go from like, you know, apprentice to, you know, like doing the work, and then one day you just be like, hey, you know what, maybe I should start my own business. Like how does someone go from, you know, like working for someone else to being like, hey, I need to work for myself and I need to do it now, and this is the path I need to go down, and boom, you start your own company.
So I'm very ambitious and have always been like super ambitious since I was little. Like when I do something, I do it like 120%. So like immediately when I got that position, I just like went full force into it, and by like the first year I was like pretty much doing everything in the company, and like writing the estimates, talking to customers, you know, facilitating actually doing the work, and the installations. So I was like trying to gain as much knowledge as I could during the whole experience, and then from there and making all the connections I did, I was kind of like, you know, I could do this on my own. Like I clearly I'm doing it for someone else. Why not branch out and do it on my own? So I slowly started to save up money, collect, like get a welder, got an angle grinder. When I first started, I actually was just like renting a studio space from a woodworker, and I would just store my equipment in there, which was just literally my welder, an angle grinder, and a chop saw on like a small table. And I would take on a little custom work here and there and just drag my equipment out into this gravel parking lot and work outside and then just store my stuff back in there. So I like literally started from the ground up. And actually kind of like you were talking about that musician friend of yours who like was fun, you know, works as a journeyman to kind of fund his, you know, yeah, passion. That's kind of like what I did. I actually had interned with a glass blowing studio in college as well. And I did a bunch of fabrication work for them. And they were like, hey, why don't we like take you on as an assistant glass blower, and we teach you from the ground up, like how to blow glass. So I kind of left the concrete scene to do that because it was just really hardcore work. I was getting a little burnt out. And so I was working as an assistant glass blower, using that money and all of my free time to start building up my business. And then it got to a point where I was taking on so much work on my own, and I ended up getting my own shop, building it up completely. And I had so much work. I was like, okay, I can take that transition and now be full time running and operating my business. So I've been doing that for about 3 years, full time running my business.
Hell yeah.
So yeah. Yeah.
And it's been worth it, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like spoiled sometimes because I'm like, I just don't even know if I could ever go back to a place where I'm like working under someone, you know? So thankfully I've been able to keep enough clients and steadily have work. There's always that like innate fear of like, oh God, is somebody just like not going to call me for another project, you know? Because it's always just like, you just get a phone call and it's like, hey, I've got this railing that I need you to do, you know? And once I'm like starting to finish the last couple projects, I start to get this like anxiety and fear, like, what if nobody calls me ever again? And then it's like 2 days later, I get a phone call, you know? So luckily the universe has been looking out for me, and I guess I've put in the work to, you know, obviously network and create these, you know, connections with people. So.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. What is, I've never, okay. So I've heard about it before, but like, and I've always wondered, like, how does glass blowing work? There's obviously, is there fire? There's fire involved.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah. So you use, it's kind of similar to like what you would think about forging. So there's a furnace that has like a crucible that holds all the glass, which is like mainly silica, soda lime, ash, feldspar, and some other fluxes that actually create the glass. And you put it in like a natural gas and forced air like furnace, and it runs at like 2100 degrees, keeping it at this like molten state. And then you'll have what's called technically a glory hole. Or reheating chamber to be, you know, more appropriate.
I prefer glory hole.
Yeah, exactly. So you have like blow pipes and these different, you know, kind of accessories that you use and tools to heat and shape the glass and create, you know, like pretty much anything that you can think is possible. So, oh my God, it's such a beautiful material to work with, because like when you're in it and you're doing it, it's kind of like dancing, because it's all about having this, like you only have a certain amount of time to work with the material, and then you have to really flow and move with it and treat it like an elegant woman. You know, you're trying to like love the glass and shape it to where, you know, you don't ever want to like for, like when you're messing with steel or something, you know, you're like hammering it, beating the shit out of it. And it's like, you know,
yeah,
it's like, it's totally different. So I think that's why I really enjoy it, because it's like on the total opposite end of how it is with messing with steel. So
well, when you're messing with steel as a welder, right, like you can mess up, but like, you know, there's always a way to fix it, right?
Right, exactly.
And I love that, you know, like watching welders and shit like that, you know, it's like, yeah, I fucked that up, don't worry though, you know. Exactly. and oh, okay, cool, you know, anything else, like if I fuck up, you know, I operate heavy equipment and stuff like that. So like, you know, if I fuck up, something's getting hurt, breaking, or dying, right? You know, no one's dying. Like,
right. Probably not.
Not yet. Not that I know of. Right. So like, yeah. It's pretty interesting. Right. And I love, you know, talking to people in different trades, you know, you know, there's so much flexibility and bending there, and like, you know, shit that I wouldn't even think about being able to do. Right. Like, right. Well, I made a video one time. It's like, there's only two things I'm good at, and that's fabricating and masturbating. And I'm going to do both in this video. And I had that, my buddy's had his welder there, and I put the hood down, but the stick was inside the hood kind of. So when I put the hood down, it looked like I was going to poke myself in the eye.
Oh, but
I,
my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it was pretty fun. I sat on that video for a while, cause I wanted him to come visit, and I wanted him to bring his welder, but he works on a rig. So yeah. Like, and I lived pretty far away from him. So I had to wait until like, you know, he was available and his wife was free, and they all came down, and we just made a visit out of a 30-second video that I wanted to make.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing I love about stuff like this, because it just like brings people together. So it's like,
yeah, absolutely. You know, like the videos too, right? You're like talking trades and work and whatnot. But the videos, you know, depends on what niche or how you decide to make them. Like, there's a lot of people out there. Like, I see you guys online. You guys show your work a lot, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're working. Me, like, I do show my work sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I show a rig in the background, or me in a rig tank getting messy or whatnot. But there's a lot of shit in the oil field that is like, hey, keep the camera away. You're not allowed to show.
Oh,
that.
Right.
Right. And like, my new job, especially, you know, the company that that we're subcontracting for, you know, had I started here when I first started, had I been here when I first started making content, my content wouldn't have flown. It wouldn't have been okay.
Right.
I was, you know, in a different side of the oil field on the back truck doing different things. And my content was sort of allowed to, hey, it went from being very, don't bring your phone out, don't show this, to, well, all right, maybe a little bit, to, yeah. I got a little greedy with it and I pushed the envelope a little bit and nobody said shit. right? So yeah. Like they kind of allowed it to happen and we let it evolve, right? Had I started where I am now, the podcast probably wouldn't be here. The TikTok wouldn't be here. You know, the people that where I'm working at now, they follow me. They've been following me for a bit, you know. But now there's a team there. I've heard a rumor that like, and I know part of it is true, that they hired, you know, more people to monitor social media. And when you type my name in on that site, pop up, right? And you know, I didn't want that to happen, but a couple of my coworkers who don't really have a following were having fun making a couple of videos here and there on site. And then when I got there, we made videos together and I tagged them in my videos. So now like when they put something out, they're being watched too.
Oh wow.
So, yeah, they gotta be careful a little bit more. Yeah. I feel bad, but like you know, my boss, he said to me, because he was on TikTok, he deleted his account. He's like, man, he's like, I can't ask you to delete yours. He's like, I could just tell you, be careful, right? Mm-hmm. And he said to me, he's like, if you're going to make them in the truck. Don't show anything outside. Don't let them know where you're at. And I'm like, that's cool. I was trying to make more camp content anyways, you know, show myself in camp a bit, eating food and whatnot. And I did that, but like, I was also taking older videos and I was throwing them up there at time, you know, like I'd be on day shift. I throw some night shift videos out. I'd be on night shift and you look like I was on days and I was on different sites. And I'm just like, this will really confuse the fuck.
Right.
I'm like, you don't know where I am. Yeah. And that's the problem, right? That's been the problem with my whole social media thing. It's been relatable and, you know, I'm a real person and I'm here and you know I'm here, right?
Yeah.
But now you know I'm here and I can't hide where I'm at either, right? So like I could have. I had that opportunity when I first started there.
Yeah.
I didn't have to say where I was. Right. And that was my bad. That was my mistake. Right. But then people started recognizing me in camp and on site, me like, yo, you're here. Right. So then, you know, word gets out. Right. And then every time I make a video, it's like, oh, that guy's over there. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, it's sort of my fault. Right. So whatever. But yeah. All I got to do is obey their rules and watch sort of what I'm doing and don't have any issues. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. That's a different dynamic that I guess I don't have to necessarily worry about. You know, I'm just like in my shop, like videoing everything.
Yeah. So like, what's the biggest project you've worked on? What's like the biggest thing you've done?
Oh my gosh. Well, I've done a really lot of larger projects, like with that glassblowing company, actually. So we did the University of Tennessee is where I went to school. It's like the big college here in Tennessee. Yeah. So we did this ginormous like torch sculpture, because that's like one of the big things at UT is like the giant torch. So we did like 250 individual, like 2 foot tall glass, like flame looking pieces that were installed on this like metal frame that we made to create this like ginormous sculpture in the student union building. So that's probably one of the larger like projects I've worked on. I also did, so we had a lot of wildfires in Gatlinburg one year, and it like burned down a ton of homes and businesses. And one of these big art buildings that was up in Gatlinburg is really devastating. And so the art school that got burnt down up there, Airmont, they hired me to create this like infinity looking sculpture.
Yeah.
So it was like this 10 foot tall, like infinity loop that I bended all the metal and welded different metal pieces that were actually left over from remnants of the fire. So it's kind of like a memorial sculpture for that. I actually teamed up with my old college professor. He was the one that like had suggested me for it to them. And that was like right after I graduated. So that was something really huge for me at the time. I've done, you know, several really large railing projects. One of the ones I just finished, this summer was like 250 feet of cable railing for this, super awesome house on the water up near where I live. So, and I did that all solo. So
that's pretty cool.
It was a lot of work, some frustration, but I mean, that was one of the like larger projects that I've done on my own. I mainly do railings like
that. Torch.
So that's like the torch that we kind of like made it out of, or you know, we're kind of representing. But no, that's not it. That the one we made. It's if you look up University of Tennessee Student Union torch sculpture, you should be able to see it. And it's,
all right. I love seeing, you know, student what?
Student Union.
Student Union torch. Yeah, like stuff like that.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is, oh, that's it, like inside. That's,
yeah,
that's cool. That looks like it would take a lot of work, actually.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It was
cool.
It was a lot of work. Wow. But it's like a spectacle, you know, you walk in there and you see it and it's just like amazing. I don't know if you're familiar with like Chihuly's work. He's like a really famous glass blower, but he does all these like really kind of curly Q looking glass pieces. That's all individual parts. So it was kind of like inspired a little bit by that somewhat. So
I've never heard of him. Is he on Instagram or?
I'm sure he is on Instagram. I mean, he's like one of the most well-known glass artists in the United States. So.
Oh, wow. That's yeah. Pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Most people, if they know about glass blowing, they know about him.
Chihuly or Chihuly?
Chihuly. Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to look him up. That sounds pretty, like, you know, that sounds like something, you know, it'd be pretty interesting. And I'd like to, you know, maybe get him on the podcast or something.
Oh yeah. Well, good luck. He's really old now. So he's been around for a long time, but you can definitely see his work in tons of, you know, really big museums and stuff around the States. So I'm sure
he's probably too big time for me. Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty big. Yeah. He doesn't really do most of his, he's got a whole team of people that like do all his glass blowing for him now.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I tried to get Mike Rowe on the podcast for episode 100.
Oh, really?
Man. Like I'm not disappointed that I didn't get him. I worked for like almost a year to get this guy and I tagged him and went after him pretty hard. But like, you know, I understand he's a busy guy, you know, he's got his own podcast, he's got a whiskey line, his parents are old and aging and whatnot. And he charges a lot of money to do appearances and he's earned that right. You know what I mean? Like he's earned that right. And you know, it was funny because a couple days after I had recorded episode 100 and couldn't get Mike Rowe on, Mike Rowe pops up on the Joe Rogan podcast. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Bitch. You son of a bitch. But yeah. Like, I get it. Joe Rogan is also, you know, built that name for himself.
Oh my God. Right.
Do that, right. So yeah, no, that's pretty, it's pretty cool. You know, it doesn't make me mad or like or upset. It drives me to become better. Right.
Well,
so
hey, you got to shoot your shot and try one of these days, you know, somebody will be like, you never know, you know, they might be like, hey, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, and you know what, like, who cares if I don't get Mike Rowe? I'm sitting here talking to Mars. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like she's not Mike Rowe, but like not yet. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. What does your boyfriend do for work?
So he does, he's like a nutritional coach. Like he,
yeah, I did see he was like a physical, like lifestyle kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Built good for you. He's built like a brick shit house. Good for you.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, we both have that a little bit in common. I mean, he's obviously well more into the fitness stuff than I am, but that's something that has definitely helped me a lot with, like, you know, depression and anxiety and things that I've struggled with. And also just like keeping up, being able to handle lifting all the steel and doing the work that I do, you know, like I have to be able to do a lot of labor intensive things.
So. That's just not a female thing either. You know, there's a lot of men who can't do that shit either. Right.
Right.
Like, you know, you gotta, you know, a lot of people, I don't know if you've ever talked to Jesse, like Slim Brick, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, him and I were talking about it one time and and it's been said a bunch of times, he's made some videos about it, you know, like everyone looks at blue collar as, you know, we're unhealthy. We smoke, we drink, We pound back gas station sandwiches and we, you know, energy drinks, which, hey, I'm guilty of the energy drinks. The last couple months, I've actually started dabbling in them. And like, I'm going after different tastes, right? Mm-hmm, that tastes good. And the energy it brings is like, whoa, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But like, you know, blue collar doesn't have to be this terrible physical lifestyle, right? Yeah. Like, you can go to the gym, you can get your sleep, you can eat healthy, you know what I mean? And it'll prolong your shelf life in the industries, right? Because, you know, in the trades, like, it, there is a shelf life, right? You know, and this is with everything else, there's a shelf life too. But the shelf life, you know, you live fast, you die young, you know what I mean? You know, you burn out quick.
Yeah.
You know, and you, if you're drinking and you're smoking and you're eating gas station sandwiches, you're probably not going to last as long, right? So
exactly.
It's all about that and getting into the right mental space, right? Because, you know, blue collar is, everyone is, but like, blue collar is highlighted for some reason that your mental health is dog shit, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yeah, I've been through the ringer. That's part of the reason why my whole social media presence exists, is because, you know, I was going through shit and I needed to have an outlet, and it ended up being my outlet. So
yeah, that's one thing. I mean, like I was kind of talking about earlier, is like, you know, in the beginning, you're like trying to be this badass and you're like trying to do these things, and like, especially working with a lot of old heads, you know, in the shop, where they just like, you know, you don't need to wear gloves, you don't need to, you know, and you, so you kind of put out on this front. And like, for a long time, you know, I was kind of leaning into that, and then realized, like, you know, I don't necessarily need to be doing all these things that are going to negatively impact me later, you know. So I really started focusing on getting into fitness, working out, you know, eating healthier. And not only was it great for just me mentally, but yeah, I mean, just continuing to be able to do this work, especially me being a business owner, I want to be able to do this for as long as I can. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just something that's really important. And I want to share with other people, like, hey, you don't, you know, necessarily have to be this type of person to be in this field of work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was in my 20s, you know, working on the crusher, silicosis and all that shit, silica dust and whatnot, like, I never wore a mask, you know, like, I'm 22 years old. I'm invincible, you know,
right.
Like, the shit that guy's going through, that'll never be me. Right.
Yep.
And then, you know, I never wore hearing protection. I never, you know, if I could get away with not wearing my hard hat, which is very seldom a thing, I wouldn't. Right. And then, you know, looking down at my steel toes at the end of like a month or whatever, you know, and your steel toes are the steel part is showing. And
yeah.
In the boot, you imagine you're not wearing steel toes, how your feet would look? They'd be mangled, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, like, just hand injuries I've had over the years, you know, like this finger here, I've taken right to the bone on the knuckle. It doesn't bend that all the way anymore.
Yeah.
From here, I took half the knuckle off with a brand new hatchet once. And then a couple years later, right through that same scar, I had something go in this side and pop out that side. And,
oh, God.
You know, like, it's just, you know, this shit happens, right? It's called an accident for a reason, you know, and no one is impervious to it, you know, like,
no,
it's coming for you, whether you like it or not, you know, it's happening.
And you can wear, yeah, you can wear all the protective gear, you can do all the things. I mean, it's just a part of, you know, the work, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of risk involved, so.
Absolutely there is. And, you know, say, you were saying earlier, you know, like, it wasn't until social media where, you know, the armchair safety officers were coming for you.
Exactly.
Right? When I first started working, I was 11 years old. My dad took me to work with him. Same thing. He owned his own. He started off working under someone else. And then he's like, my dad can't work for someone. My dad's not that kind of person.
He, yeah. You know,
there's a reason why no job has ever lasted for him, is because he doesn't work well being told what to do. So my dad is the boss now, or was anyway. And you know, I was 11, he took me to work with him, and he owned his own metal roofing and construction company. So, you know, I went and did that. And yeah, like, there was no harnesses, there was no hard hats, we wore running shoes on the roof, you know.
Yeah,
I remember a couple years in, my brother was on his second knee surgery before he started wearing knee pads, right? He's just like, you know, knee pads, right?
Yeah.
And you know, with me, you know, in the industry since then that I worked in, safety, your PPE has been like, hey, you're wearing this. If not, you can go home. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, I have two jobs. I work road construction in the summer and I do the oil patch in the winter. And that's just so not all my eggs are in one basket. And when oil takes a shit, I have another job. Right.
Yeah.
So in the summertime, when I first started there 10 years ago, we didn't have to wear a hard hat, right? We're outside. We're on a road, right? Why do we got to wear a hard hat?
Yeah.
And so I got used to not wearing it. And then over the course of a few years, hard hats became mandatory. You got to wear them, right? There are still times where, you know, like I look around and no one else is around. I work by myself a lot. No one else is around. And it's like, you know what? The hard hat is a little heavy on the head after 12 hours.
Right. Right? Oh, God.
I take the hard hat off a lot and I'll throw it aside. And then, you know, I see someone coming, I'll put it on. Or sometimes I don't see them coming and I don't have it on. And, you know, for the most part, they don't really say anything. But, you know, when the big bosses are coming around, you know, they're like, hey, please put your hard hat on. Oh, shit, my bad, man. You're always dumb about it, right? Like, oh,
exactly.
I left the truck. I thought I had it on. So,
yeah, I mean, even me, like with the welding helmet, I have to take it on and off because just having that compression on your forehead, you know, it's just like, oh, my God. Yeah. It definitely wears me. So, yeah, I've never been in a situation where I've had to wear it for an extensive amount of time, but there are days where I'm like doing a lot of welding.
Yeah.
And I really noticed that. So, yeah, the hard hat, I could see that being like an issue.
If you were to ever leave the welding industry, like, what do you have your sights set on next? Like, is there another road you want to take, or are you just like, hey, I'm here and I'm staying here, I'm comfortable here? Or is it like, hey, you know, eventually I want to put this down and I want to go this way?
I really honestly don't foresee me doing anything else. I think I have a pretty strong obsession with like creating and making things. I mean, I could see myself taking like maybe a different avenue, but still, you know, obviously utilizing the skill set, maybe doing more, you know, specialized artistic sculpture kind of stuff, like that torch thing, and getting away from doing like maybe so many railings and things like that. Which I mean, I enjoy and I love, but my true passion is like art and sculpture.
If
I were to have a choice in a direction that I would choose, it would be doing stuff more along those lines. But I don't see myself ever not welding. I'm going to be that like 9-year-old lady that's going to be out in the metal shop just like making little knickknacks, you know.
Hey, shout out to you. My great grandmother was like 92 when I first met her, and my dad was adopted as a kid. And when he found his actual birth mother, it was like 12 years ago or whatever. And after 50 years, and we got to go meet my great grandmother who lived not too far from us. My uncle was actually our neighbor, which is weird.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my sister walked to school every day with her cousin. And so we went to go meet her. And when we rolled up to meet her, she was on her roof cleaning her gutters.
And
like early to mid 90s.
Yeah.
And she was like one of 14 brothers and sisters, a big French family, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And she was like kind of senile at the time. I don't know if she was senile or funny or just bitter, but like she brought out an old photo and she's like, these are all my brothers and sisters. And she pointed to the one in the middle. She's like, see that guy right there? That's my eldest brother. The day he died, the rest of us partied.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
That's hysterical.
I aim to be that guy.
I mean, if you have that many siblings, I could see there being, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I have three sisters, and then I have a stepsister and then a stepbrother, two stepbrothers. So, like, there are six of us, seven of us.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We didn't all, like, grow up together, and we didn't all live together at the same time. But, like, there's definitely some shit there, right? And. Right. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like my one stepbrother who's like the same age as me, like if I ever get the chance, I'm punching that guy in the face.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he used to sit there in the mornings when my parents had to wake us up separately in the mornings after a little while because we'd be eating cereal and I look up, the guy staring at me, chewing with his mouth open. Like, and I'm like, yo, you know, we were like 8, 9.
Yeah.
Less than that. We were probably like 6, 7. And I whipped my cereal bowl at him one morning. I'm just like, you know, like I hated that kid. And I, you know, we went, my parents made me take him on a bike ride with me one time. And he was how old was he? He was like 8 and still 9. And he still had his training wheels on. And I'm like, fuck this kid. Right. And I just fucked off.
Yeah. Right.
Like 4 hours later, I come home and they're like, "Hey, where's your brother?" And like, they know my brother, right? But like, the cops brought him back because he ended up on the other side of the city by himself, right? And I'm just like, I whipped this, and to keep him from coming with me again, I threw his helmet, his bike helmet, up on the roof. I'm like, "Fuck this kid! He ain't coming with me, right?" Apparently, you can go buy another one. So
yeah. So kind of terrorized him a little bit.
Oh man. Oh, we were coming down this really steep hill this one time, right? And I'm like, ride your brakes all the way down. Right. Yeah. I went down first, and then, you know, it was really cool how it happened. But then like he came down, guy had training wheels, right? He rode his brakes, but like I had turned a corner, I was waiting down the side street for him. He came all right, but he came down on his face because he rode his brakes like I told him to down a hill, and he flipped over and slid down, right? He had like rolled around. Oh man, I was a dick. It was
my brother did that same thing once. So see, my brother was the one that was like beating the shit out of me and like kicking my ass all the time. So now I'm stronger than he is, so it feels really great to like say something.
You can also like take out your welder and lock him in a room or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You're fucked now. Good luck getting out.
For sure. Yeah. I ended up getting to be the more badass one. So
hell yeah. What's your brother do for work?
Oh god, he sells timeshares.
Fuck that guy.
He sells timeshares and he plays video games. So yeah, he's kind of like but maybe it was him like kicking my ass when I was younger that made me be like, you know, this headstrong kind of person. I don't know, but
I sit through timeshares when I go to Florida.
Yeah,
I sit through like a 2-hour timeshare just to get cheap Disney tickets. I'm like, you know, right. I'll sit through this. They took me out for breakfast one time. Like, hey, we're gonna take you out for breakfast. We're gonna sell you on this timeshare, then we're gonna take you back to the building, and then we're gonna like, hey, we're gonna do the paperwork. I'm like, all right. So they took me out for breakfast. I'm like, free breakfast. You know, I'm eating the breakfast. He's talking about it, making it sound good. Guy had me convinced. I was ready, right?
Yeah.
And then we get back, and I'm just like, the cheap part of me is like, breakfast is over, and no matter what, I get my Disney tickets now, you know? Like,
right.
In, right? So, like, the one time, it was like 20-some-odd thousand dollars for this timeshare, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe not. And then he kept going down, down, down. I think it got to like 8,000 or something like that. He brought it down to 8 grand, and I'm like, fuck, I'm actually kind of convinced, you know? Like, yeah. I might do this. And then I was like, you know what? Like, no, I can't right now. Like, that's pretty expensive, right? You know, I'm on a trip. He's like, we can defer payments, you know, until you get home and whatnot. And I'm like, nah, I better not. And he's like, can you call me when you're done your trip and we'll see? I'm like, yeah, I'll call you and we'll talk about it when I get home. Got my tickets, never looked back.
Right. I mean, as long as you go into it with that kind of mentality,
yeah,
you're safe. But they
know what they're doing.
Tactics and tricks and like, you know, it's all psychology and it's.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So
hey, do you know what viscosity is?
Yeah, it's like the flow of material.
Yeah, like the resistance to like flow, right?
Yeah.
And so where I'm going with that is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and the Mudman. On the drilling rigs, right, you need some viscosity when you're drilling, right?
Yeah.
You either needs to be the thickness of the flow, the mud either needs to be more viscous or less viscous, right?
Right.
So the Mudman deals in you know, he has all the equipment, right? He has like vis cups, which, you know, you test the viscosity and whatnot and the materials. And so for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, the Mudman's got your back. He tests the thickness of your load is what he does, which is.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty thick load sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The Mudman's the shit, you know, started off with a headset and a microphone, you know, and to make the audio better. And then, you know, this summer, that was like almost 2 years ago. And then this summer we moved into, well, how can we make the podcast better? I got a brand new MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And from the Mudman, I can edit the podcast so much easier, and I don't need a headset and microphone half the time. You know, it works just like this. You know, the MacBook has been amazing.
Yes.
And it's all because of the Mudman, right? And, you know, taking a shot and believing in me and the podcast, right?
Oh,
so it's awesome. I'm really thankful for that, you know, the first guy who believed in what I was doing. So
right. I mean, those people are so important. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the couple people, you know, along the way that have believed in me, like my first couple clients, and, you know, it's just like, I'm forever grateful for those people who allowed me to be able to be here and like live my dream. I mean, I'm like 100% living my dream life. So
that's amazing. And not many people can say that, right? Like, not a lot at all. There's only like, you know, I don't even know if it's, you know, what, 1% maybe can say that they're living their dream life.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad, but also, hey, good for you, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it took a lot of hard work and dedication. So, I mean, it's been a journey, but, you know, I had a goal in mind. So yeah, just working towards that and not giving up, you know.
Of course. Of course. I love that. And we were talking about mental health, right? The podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp now too, right? Which is
awesome.
I love that. You know, there's a lot of onboarding still to do with that. Actually, I think we're just about done it. So, you know, hopefully by the time this episode comes out, we will be done with the onboarding shit. It's been like 2 months of that. So just, you know, getting shit figured out and whatnot. And, you know, mental health is huge, right? And I've talked about it a bit. You know, this and another sponsor that I have, Brasco Safety and NWT now slash White Bear Workwear, you know, like, I'm giving back to my community, right? Blue collar, mental health is a big thing, you know, so why not, you know, help them out with a discount code for, you know, therapy. NWT Safety, Brasco, White Bear, you know, if you need coveralls, you need hard hat, gloves, whatever, there's a discount code. Boots are expensive, you know, and you need a pair, you know, why wait a certain amount of time to go get them, you know, because if you can't afford them or not, I can help you out. Right.
Exactly.
And it's really cool because there's a PPE donation bin in camp up north where I'm working right now. And NWT and I were talking about it and her White Bear anyway, and they gave me a bunch of PPE to donate to the bin.
Oh,
and I fly back tonight and on my way to the airport, I got to stop in. They're giving me more stuff to donate to the bin. So it's, I'm really enjoying working with people like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Podcast, you know, other people who also believe in the podcast, which is huge.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it's beneficial for everyone. So it's like, you're benefiting your viewers, you're benefiting, you know, the company itself. So it's just like, and then you get benefit obviously. So it's like, just like this, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, I said this a couple weeks ago, you know, like, I was on the outside looking in 4 years ago, right? And I have a platform, I may as well use it, right?
Yeah.
And why not, you know, be here with purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I try to do that a lot with different, you know, companies and brands, obviously Trollco and like Yes Welder and Benchmark Abrasives. I mean, there's so many things that go into what we do, you know, and tools, equipment. So it's nice to kind of like share that with everybody and give them some sort of like discount or whatever to get started. So
hell yeah. What's your Trollco code?
Mars 10.
Mars 10. Mine's Frost 10, I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone really uses it, but I mean,
hey. I know. I mean, I'll throw it out there. You know, most of the time I'm just kind of like showcasing the you know, outfits or whatever, the gear. And like,
yeah,
I hardly throw my code out there because, I mean, to me, it's not really about like necessarily making the commission and stuff because whatever. But I should probably, you know, post that more. But yeah.
Whatever. It is what it is, right? Like, it's there. If you want to use it, it's there. That's what it's there for. If you don't want to use it, don't use it, you know? Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, I was wondering for, you know, I talked to Tron about it, but like, I've been with Troll just over a year now. And, you know, it's when we first started talking, I'm like, I wonder how long I have to wear this stuff for and you know, before and make videos for and how big of a following I have to get before, you know, like they come to me or I have to go to them. I don't know. Right. And then I started talking to Inked Blue Collar, Chris.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he's oil field too. And we were following each other and talking. And I'm like, man, you're part of them? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you gotta come on my podcast. And that still hasn't happened yet. He's been fairly busy, but he's like, I can hook you up with how to get in. So I'm like, okay. So he hooked me up and then we got to talking and whatnot. And here we are over a year later. And you know, it's been a lot of fun. You know, even if I don't, you know, even if you don't use my code and I don't get that commission,
yeah,
like I'm still networking with other trades.
Right. Exactly.
Like, my podcast has like benefited quite a bit from just being in that group. I've got to talk to you. I've got to talk to Jesse. Rough Iron and I, we've known each other before that. You know, I've got to just mingle with so many people in there and rub shoulders with some of the most hardest working, badass, blue-collar people on the planet, right? So
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's what one thing that I really love about the Troll Co community.
So. Hell yeah. Yeah, and I love the troll comments, people like,
oh my gosh, yeah, oh,
guys wearing Troll Co, they're not actually workers,
right? I know. Yeah, they're haters.
yeah it's quite interesting how it goes, really, right? I love watching it. And then, you know, the group chat though, like, I don't know if you've ever noticed when someone needs, you know, we're all like, sometimes people are at each other's throat in there, but if you ever need someone to ride for you, everyone's there. Everyone's, yeah. Hey man, let's go to war, right?
There's like, an army of people ready. Like, exactly. Yeah, I love that. The support is amazing.
Yeah. So, like, if you, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but like, if you have some advice for, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't really care, you know, you're a woman or whatnot. If you, just anybody in general, like, if you have advice for women wanting to get into the trade, girls, or just people in general wanting to get into the trade, like, what kind of advice do you have for them if they're just starting off, or they're looking for something to get into and they don't know what they want to do yet and they just happen to come across this?
I mean, I think some of the key points that we even talked about today is, like, I mean, networking is so huge. Just talking to anyone and everyone that you can get your hands on. And then once you kind of get that networking in and you meet these people and get these connections, like, just be a sponge, you know, take in as much knowledge and ask questions and just pay attention. And, you know, the other thing is just, like, don't give up. Like, it's going to be hard. You're going to get shit every once in a while, you know, especially if you are a female. It's something that is, you know, a little bit tricky to navigate, especially being in this trade where it's, like, dominantly, like, male. So you're going to get some stuff every once in a while, but just, like, believe in yourself. Never give up. And yeah, just like absorb all the knowledge that you can. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. This whole sponge thing. A lot of people ask me when they come into my live streams and stuff like that, hey, I'm just starting out. Any tips for a guy just starting out? And it's like, ask questions, man.
Right.
You know, like, ask questions. When I got there, you know, I didn't ask those questions, right? I thought I had to get there and I had to just learn on my own, right? And it was the hardest way possible, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
ask questions. You know, don't be, there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Just right.
Ask a fucking question. You're not sure. I'd rather it come off as stupid rather than you not know and end up killing yourself or getting someone hurt or yourself hurt. Right. And
absolutely.
Ask the question, whether you think it's dumb or not.
Well, and there's this like sense of like, you kind of have to put your ego aside too, and not think that you know everything or like I can do this or, you know, what you, there is this, like, you kind of have to just be willing to listen to someone else, take their advice, even if it not, you know, everyone does things a little bit differently, but you could learn something from how they do something that you can take away from it, you know?
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. I love that. Where can people find you on the socials?
You can find me on Killer Mars on Instagram. I also have my business page, which is Mars Fabrication. That's my company name. So yeah, I'm also on TikTok, Killer Mars as well.
Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. Yep.
Like, not a private one. Like, you?
Do
you
no, have... no. I mean, I don't. I have like my company, Mars Fabrication, on there, and then just my personal, Marissa Mitchell. So my actual name is Marissa, but I've been going by Mars since I was like
Marissa with one R.
One R, one S. Yep.
One R, one S. I wait. I think one R is usually like the usual way. It's one S. That's weird.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen two R's. I've only seen, yeah, yeah.
Hi, yeah, everybody gets it wrong, but it's fine.
Yeah,
whatever. Mars is simple, though. It makes it easier.
Yeah. I usually like to wrap the podcast up with one last question, and then it's it usually like throws people off a little bit, but Mount Rushmore has like four of the most influential people on the rock, right? And if you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, inspired to be there, or that have inspired you, who would they be and why?
Oh my goodness. Wow, that is a huge question. People that inspire me, I mean, I guess, you know, a lot of people that have just helped me along the way of my journey, would be more of like what I would do. So like my mom would be number one, because she is the person that I would not be here at all if it weren't for her pushing me and inspiring me to just be the best version of myself. So she would have to be up there. And then probably my college professor, John Powers, because he was also someone that really believed in me in college and kind of like took me under his wing. And the same thing, just inspired me to do better, taught me a whole lot. And then let's see, I'm trying to think of what, two other people? Mm-hmm. I guess I would have to say Ray Ripple has been like a big inspiration for me as like a female in the industry. So she's been somebody that I've kind of like looked up to as like, you know, just doing her own thing in welding and teaching herself from the ground up. She's kind of started as an artist as well. So we have like a similar story as far as that goes. So I can just really kind of see myself in her journey a little bit. Even though, I mean, she's like further ahead than I am, but I'm just saying like, this is someone that's kind of inspired me along the way to like continue to grow and learn and push forward as being like a female in this kind of world. Cause it's a little, it gets a little tough at times. Especially being like your own boss and business owner, dealing with different clients and, you know, suppliers and stuff. You run into some tricks here and there. And then I don't know, would it be weird to just say myself? Because
no, not at all. Hey, you gotta love yourself before you can love anyone else, right?
Exactly. I mean, I feel like I need to give myself a lot of credit for just, you know, putting in the work and the time and never giving up and, you know, just pushing through. So
hey, there's no shame in loving yourself, right? There's no shame in patting yourself on the back, you know?
So yeah, I guess that would be my answer.
Good. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Do you know like the history of Mount Rushmore, right? The guy who created it, he went off to fight in a war. And like the idea was it wasn't supposed to stop at four, right? That's why the faces are so small on such a big space, right?
Yeah.
It looks very underwhelming when you go there, but there was meant to be more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was meant to be more. And he went off to fight and his son was left with it. But like his son was like, you know, no one has really fit the bill of what these four up here stood for and what they meant, right? So it just went unfinished. That's why Mount Rushmore looks so insignificant, like up there. It's just like, oh, cool, you know, like it's just this big, right? Yeah. And, you know, it looks like they could have put so much more effort into it. That was the original plan.
Yeah, no, I've never seen it in person. I've only seen pictures. So like for me, it obviously gets a different, you know, context. But yeah, I would love to see it in person.
Yeah, same. It's actually on my bucket list, right? Yeah. Especially more since I started doing the podcast. My boss actually asked that question in orientation once about Mount Rushmore. Who do you look up to, right? Yeah. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore? So like I implemented that into the podcast and it was like, you know, you spend, you know, an hour basically getting to, you know, you have laughs and joke around and you have a good time and then boom, I smash you with that one. And right. Yeah. And it's a good way to end it. It's a good way to be like, hey man, you know, thanks for having a laugh with me. Thanks for, you know, talking some serious shit, talking about your trade and how, you know, how you got there and whatnot. And then, hey, what inspires you at the end? Right. And then, yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun, you know, and I can't wait to, you know, we just passed 100, right? Like 100 was like 3 weeks ago. So like, you know, it took 2 years to get there just about. And, you know, someone said, what's next? Well, see you at 200, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's exciting.
It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, the conditions on which we had to get to that 100, you know, I'm a lot of the time, I'm not in good cell service. There's no Wi-Fi. I'm in the bush, you know, I was on call 24/7, you know, I could be in the middle of a podcast, phone rings and I got to go. Right. And, you know, the conditions in which the first 100 happened were, you know, not the greatest. So, you know, the fact that we were able to get that far and at all was, you know, mind-blowing to me. So, you know, yeah
that's incredible. I'm excited to see where you end up now in the future. So
I don't know, we're grinding, we're having a good time. It's not as tiring right now because, you know, I'm having a lot of fun and a lot of people, I still reach out and ask people to come on, but at the very beginning I was like begging people to come on, right? Yeah. And now people come to me and they reach out and they're like, hey, can I come on your podcast? And I think that is so cool, right? That is so cool. So
I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no, hey, I love that you came on. And, you know, it didn't take long to get this one going either, right? I reached out to you like 4 days ago, 5 days ago. And, you know, here we are today, you know.
Yeah, so,
yeah. Exactly. Thanks for coming on. And I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on this journey with me, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm happy to be a part of it.
Hell yeah. Thank you. And, hey, you know what? Hey, Mars, stay frosty.
Yes, I will.
All right. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you.